like my Sam Bowie draft history from the beer man himself. Sam Bowie in the 1984 NBA draft. Your thoughts?
Let's dance.
David Bowie. Oh. Not Sam Bowie.
Oh, sorry.
Sam Bowie. Seven footer played over here in Kentucky.
Change, yeah. Turn face a strange.
Fame, blah, 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 blah. All I got is fame.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all I got is fame. But I got the title of the song.
Hey,
so.
What's it?
What you mean? What you want? Tomorrow? Something like
hey,
that.
Hey.
Yeah, that's all I got.
What you have to borrow? Hey.
Little China girl.
Stevie Ray Vaughan playing guitar on that.
Why do you got to trump me on everything, Dylan?
Ground control to Major Tom.
My little China girl. She says, oh, baby, just you shut your mouth.
Best video of all time. Him and Mick Jagger making out.
Dancing in the street.
Yeah. Best video ever, right?
No.
No?
Jeez.
They were making out.
They weren't really making out.
Oh. Have you not seen the video?
No, I don't. Apparently not.
That set a little boy on a farm in Madison County for a little tizzy, wondering about sexual preferences of certain people in the world. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's already been documented.
Well, I didn't know you guys yet.
Did you know Freddie Mercury liked boys on occasion?
What?
Who?
I found out in the movie.
What?
What are you trying to say? Who are you, Jim J. Bullock?
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah? This is a true story. I once asked my dad, may he rest in peace. We were talking about food. What's your favorite fruit? And he sits around, because I'm eating a lot of grapes at the time. He goes, and he looks real serious. And I'm like, this can't be a serious question. What's his problem? He goes, well, I'd have to say that Richard Simmons. So my dad's favorite fruit was Richard Simmons.
So your dad's jokes were better than yours.
That's no question. I couldn't come up with that. There's no way. How do you top that? Anyway, I'm just saying. By the way, all this is on tape, I hope you know.
Who's the guy that threw confetti in the air?
Rip Taylor, yes. Yeah. He'd go on all these game shows.
That was like the first one that I remember thinking, oh, he's lighting the loafers.
Yes, and then I did that one time at my house because I saw him do it on TV, and I said, look, Mom. He goes, don't you ever do that again. I didn't know why he was doing that, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I was very young.
And then I remember when Rip Torn started to become a bigger actor, and I was thinking, that's the guy who used to throw confetti in the air?
No. Rip Torn's no longer with us, is he?
Neither one are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rip Taylor and Rip Torn both gone.
Both toupees? I think they both had toupees.
Probably.
Toupee or not toupee? That is the question.
Total pay.
Speaking of toupees, how you doing, Dennis?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well.
You got to admire how comfy he is right now.
Well, that's the man who's been hitting teasers, dead money, dead air teasers all year long. And when you got all that extra money, you can put your feet up on the table like you own the place. You can do things. When you finish the top 20 or whatever it was out of 100-something thousand people on the ESPN point spread picking contest, you can put your feet up like you're the man of the house.
How come ESPN doesn't pay more people? I want to know why only two people got paid. First place, second place. Come on.
Second place got paid? I didn't even know that.
First place got 20,000. Second place got $5,000.
Do you know in the year 2000, I was given a 61-inch non-HD TV by ESPN for fantasy football. I still have it to this day.
Wow.
TV. It is non-HD. So it still looks a little fuzzy, but it serves a purpose.
Do you know that I won a Land Rover?
You did.
I did.
Did he really?
Yeah, true story. Yeah.
Is it a
picking the hits in modern rock radio?
But if I'm not mistaken, you didn't opt for the Land Rover. You took the cash.
$25,000.
Because you picked the hits? I don't understand.
It was a radio and records contest.
Oh.
Paid for by the record companies.
Is the framed photo still down in the basement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll send you a picture of the framed photo. They flew me to Baltimore for the photo sessions.
Really? Mm-hmm. Is it anything like the photo sessions for the Reds Caravan out here at LM Communications?
Yeah, you're. It's exactly like that because you're not in the picture.
They do still want to get you in the picture, so wear your Reds paraphernalia tomorrow. And get with Carrie, and she'll make this happen.
Welcome once again, everyone, to the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast. We don't have very many of these left in the shoot.
Thank God.
So here we go with the conference championship weekend.
Give me the Cowboys. Give me the Bills. I'm out of here.
Cowboys? Bills?
What year is this? Leon Lett will be recovering a fumble.
I didn't want to give my actual picks. I'm trying to build the anticipation.
Don Beebe will be chasing down Leon Lett at the sidelines.
I'll take your money right now.
I'll take both your actions, but no teasers. I will not take Dennis's teaser money. Yeah, it's too complicated.
Because you don't want to lose. I understand.
That's true. I don't want to lose, but it's also too complicated to keep up with all your teaser. I'm going to tease it up 11. Now, what is this one you sent a picture of the other day now?
Yeah,
I teased
the Bengals up to something, I don't know, plus 6 or 7. Okay. And then I teased the Eagles, I think, up. And then I teased everything under, which I'm a little worried about that aspect. But every teaser I've had blown the last couple of weeks, or maybe the last month or two, every teaser that I included an over under, and I bet the over, the score went under.
You do know that the unders went 4-0 last weekend.
Yes.
Yes. So that's
that's not good.
Well, it's not good if you are playing overs. Yes, but the divisional round. Yeah, all the unders hit last week.
Well, that means one over is going to hit this week. Now I teased it up, so maybe it won't go over my teaser.
What about your research that there was always one blowout and the rest are kind of in the divisional round?
Yeah, I went back 10, 12 years, and there was typically one blowout and the rest were relatively close. We had our one blowout.
Once again, the beer man on top of his game.
I just picked the wrong game that was the blowout.
And what did I say last week? I said, well, Brad, you got to look at these four games today. Is that four games last week? Yeah. Two games last week.
Four games for the whole weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, because we were on the air. I said it was only two that I was covering that day, though. And I said, you got to ask yourself, which one of these is going to be an upset? Because there's always an upset. And every week in the NFL, you know, you got to pick three or four games that you think is going to be, you know, where the underdog's just going to win flat out. And so I said, I think I'm going to stick with my Bengals. Hootay!
Now, did you guys have money on that square teaser of the lifetime last week?
I did not.
With the Eagles and the Chiefs last week.
It was too obvious. I couldn't do it.
It was too obvious, yes.
Yeah, I just couldn't do it.
Nothing for you either?
I don't remember.
Well, the obvious winners. The two favorites on Saturday.
Yeah. Right. No, but I know all of us thought that the Giants were going to make that a game.
Yeah, I you know, sometimes you drink the
Kool-Aid. I'm
still
scratching my head on that one. Yeah. It's
a rough one, yeah. The fact that
all the public was on the Giants there, that was the big – because I texted you guys. I said, okay, I'm taking Jacksonville the points, going under in that one, taking the under in Philly. But I didn't take the Giants because so many people were on the Giants. And it was just like they're setting us up, you know. And I know that the Hurts is just coming back and he's rusty and blah, blah, blah. It was just they were setting this up. So many people were saying Giants. That's exactly when you say, maybe I should get off that team.
That's what I was going to say, too. I was on the other side of that same coin. It wasn't so much that I believed in the Giants. I just thought, you know, Jalen Hurts is going to come out, and he's going to take a little – he's going to move
he's
a little
He's going to be rusty.
Slow. He's not going to be sharp. And, boy, was I wrong. So, you know, it happens. Though.
Although he only had, like, 30 rushing yards, but the whole team had, like, 270.
Here's the question for you guys. How many rushing yards do you think Patrick Mahomes will have this weekend?
Less than 10.
Well, I just saw a video. Here we are Wednesday evening. I just saw a video. He was running around like nothing was wrong with him.
Yeah.
I saw him not struggling to stand up during the game.
Give me your high ankle sprain, poor huddled Patrick Mahomes masses. I don't want to... hurt Patrick Mahomes. I want him to be fully healthy. I don't want to hear any backlash from Kansas. Oh, well, we would have beat you if our quarterback was healthy. Whatever.
I love that voice. Whose voice are you imitating?
I don't know.
We would have beat you if Patrick Mahomes was healthy.
Kind of you. I think I was doing you, actually.
I think you were doing Judge Smales. We don't have that kind of behavior at Bushwood, sir.
All right, so how do you – we talked about last week's game. Anything else on last week's
No, match? It's just a beautiful dismantling and dismembering of the Buffalo Bills. Cincinnati looked more systematic, and they looked you know, the precision of Joe Burrow and the offense and the offensive line, which still I don't think has been given enough credit after all of the hate that they took the week before. And then the defense continues. I mean, you've got Dax Hill now added to the rookie cornerback class along with Cam Britt Taylor. And people still say, well, this Cincinnati defense, they're, you know, they're 24th in DVOA or whatever. I'm sorry, you were looking for the voice again.
Well, you know, 24th in DVOA.
Stephon Diggs and Eli Apple are still kind of bickering back and forth on Twitter, too.
Sorry, Steph.
Yeah.
Can I call you Stephanie?
Did anything kind of raise a red flag to you guys about this line last week going from Buffalo 3.5 to 6? By game time, we saw it fluttering between 5.5 and 6. But was that a warning sign? Because that is the one thing that scared me off of this game, was that although the public was on Cincinnati, the sharps were on Buffalo, and this line moved, although they did not have a majority of the money.
One of the things that I said to Dennis, if you're a great sharp, you're right 58% of the time. And even though the sharps were on Buffalo, I'm still sitting there knowing how many Bengals games we've watched this year, how many Bills games we saw this year, and it's like, I don't see it. I did not see it. I definitely didn't see it close to a touchdown. And that was the game that I bet the heaviest this weekend.
Yeah, same.
I put money on Cincinnati to win outright, and I put money on Cincinnati in the points.
Yeah, me too. And I've got Cincinnati to win the AFC Championship too, so, and the Super Bowl.
What's the odds?
I've got 4-1.
4-1
on the AFC and 8-1 on the Super Bowl.
The odds that I pulled up on the Super Bowl, I think yesterday, of the four teams still left, the Eagles have the best odds.
Yes.
It was the Eagles, then Cincinnati. Then
Eagles, Eagles plus 240. Bengals plus 250.
And then
Chiefs plus 270. Niners plus 330.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah.
Wow.
So looking Niners as the biggest dog, but yet still just barely over 3-1. That tells you it's anybody's ballgame.
About as perfect a championship round as you could ask for. I mean,
that's pretty close.
Yeah.
All four of those are, you can't spread it, you know, you can't get it any closer than that.
Are we ready to talk about this week's games?
Sure. I think we already are. I think we're already right there on the cusp.
Let us begin with the non-Bengals game. The Niners. Brock Purdy. Would you guys say right now, Brock Purdy, Week 1 starter for the Niners next year?
I still would. Absolutely.
I would.
Think so?
Yeah.
No Tom Brady, no Trey Lance, no.
Why? No. Why take on all that debt?
Jeff Garcia? No. Jim Druckenmiller? No. Okay.
And the kid's proved himself. I think that, you know, maybe you have a backup plan.
What if he does really bad in this game, though? I mean, we're talking, you know, 38-0 type Scott Mitchell with the Lions in the 90s kind of performance.
He's won, what, 6 in a row?
7.
7 in a row. I think if he has a bad game, I honestly think you can chalk it up to, it was for a shot at the Super Bowl. You can expect out of him in this one. I mean, you got four quarterbacks going. Who would you take last in every single one of them?
Well, and I think Jimmy G may not be there next year, but you've got Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, who are serviceable backups. Well, at least Garoppolo is.
I would probably try to trade Trey Lance in the offseason.
I think one of them will be gone.
I don't think Garoppolo's going to be there no matter what.
Garoppolo's a free agent.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he could resign, obviously.
I don't think he would resign at this stage. Basically, the Vegas Raiders have already said if Tom Brady wants to come there, they would take him, but Jimmy G would be a good backup plan.
Gotta be Garoppolo and Tom Brady back together again.
Do you know Tom Brady even money right now to go to the Raiders next year?
I would.
Well,
so.
No way I would ever take that bet.
I wouldn't take that bet either. Listening, basically, Tom Brady was scouting private schools in Miami is what I was reading yesterday.
You think Miami's getting rid of Tua for Tom Brady?
when you start looking at the concussions that he had and the concerns, I would be scared to death to go into a season with Tua as my number one.
Jimmy Garoppolo's 31 years old. He's a lot older than I thought he was.
He was in New England for three, four years.
He's been around now. This will be his 10th year next year. So yeah. It's like we talk about Jimmy G was the heir apparent to Tom Brady. He's in his 30s. He's going to be 32 next season. So, it's tough to say. Let's get to the game. I'm sorry.
I was going to say the thing that scares me about Brock Purdy in this upcoming game is the fact that he held on to the ball forever. Are you guys coughing in unison? That was so weird to see. He held on to the ball, and he does this. And I've seen him do it in other games, too. Drops back to pass. Wants to hold on to it. He might be trying a little too hard, maybe not trusting his instincts. But holding on to the ball is not going to work against Philadelphia.
I think he was a little bit scared to make a mistake.
You got Micah Parsons breathing down your neck every other play. I mean, it's understandable, but he's done it in a lot of games. And I'm wondering if that's not his M.O., and if he's not just trying to be a little too precise, a little too perfect. And Philadelphia, I mean, you got 10 guys, or you got four guys that have 10 sacks or more.
He rolled to the left a lot, and it really looked awkward. I mean, it didn't look like it was his natural way to go.
As a right-hander, it's not a natural direction.
But he had some passes that were incredible, but it just rolling out was just, something didn't look right.
Well, you can beat Philadelphia if you can run the ball. I think that's been proven. I would suspect that San Francisco is going to go pretty run-heavy in this game. All three of those guys. McCaffrey, Mitchell, Debo.
Debo, yeah.
Brad?
Yeah,
the QBR for Brock Purdy, that was easily his worst game so far against Dallas. He had another bad one at the end of the regular season, but it really didn't matter that game against Arizona. But all the others, he was in the 70s, and he here's a 90 against Tampa, and this was in the 50s. So that was easily his worst game. Also, easily the best defense he played all year with Dallas last week, too.
Right.
Let's talk about the Eagles. 2.5-point favorites, 46.5 the total. We see some juice on this 2.5. So if this line moves anytime soon, it's going to go up to 3. And I think if you get to 3, kind of like that, the other game in the AFC, you're going to see some serious buyback coming in on the Niners at +3. We will start with the beer man in this one because we'll let Dylan start the other one. You know why. So your thoughts on this game?
To me, this one all comes down to Brock Purdy. He wasn't perfect in the Cowboys game. I know you can't carry that from one game to another, but the fact that it's going to be his 8th start, 7th start, whatever – it's got to catch up with him eventually. I like the roster in San Francisco better, but not, I liked them considerably better than Dallas. Philadelphia is pretty much right there with them, maybe a notch below, but quarterback is going to be huge in this game. I think Brock Purdy would have to make some plays, and I don't know if he can make enough to beat Philadelphia in this game. So for that, I'm going to take the Eagles and lay the 2.5.
Yeah, you took the words kind of out of my mouth. Man for man, both sides of the ball, these two teams are pretty equal, and they both play similar too. But Jalen Hurts is clearly the guy who is going to, he's going to edge out Brock Purdy in the quarterback realm, and that's the scary part. Now, Purdy could have the game of a lifetime, and we've seen the San Francisco O-line and the team. Surround him and pick him up and keep him protected. And, that team has stepped up. So anything can happen in this game. I, as I sit here right now, I'm taking Philadelphia. And I don't really want to. I want to take San Francisco. And I feel like there's a lot of people who are starting to push San Francisco into that favorite position. I think there's a lot of juice on San Fran in this game. But... and I would rather, being a Bengals fan, I would rather play San Francisco.
It's one of those games where I look at if San Francisco had the bye in round one and Philly had to travel out there, I may go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
But the fact that it is in Philadelphia, and that place is hostile, but, just too much confusion at quarterback throughout the whole year for San Francisco.
I've heard some people say that Philadelphia's got the running game edge, but I don't know that I believe that at all. Debo and Elijah Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey. I mean, that's pretty hard to beat, man. I got a little bit of a. I mean, you got Miles Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pretty good.
Yeah,
you've got Gainwell, Kenneth Gainwell. Pretty good. You got Boston Scott. Scores a touchdown out of nowhere every time they play. Okay, he's all right. But I don't think they compare to San Fran's running back. Right now I'm taking Philadelphia, but I'm going to be easily swayed. And I will also say this, Brad, there's going to be one upset this weekend. One of the underdogs is going to win.
We don't even know who the underdog is going to be in the AFC yet. That's
exactly.
The crazy thing about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Because this thing, I'm looking at the odds for the AFC right now. This is going back to pick 'em just like that. And I can promise you, everybody's seeing that video and they're saying we're flitching back over to Kansas City trying to get some buyback here. As far as this NFC game goes, best two teams in the NFC, no question.
Yes.
Yep.
San Fran.
We've known it for a while.
Yeah. 41 years since San Francisco's first NFC championship. They played in 15 in 41. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Even though you did have Montana, you did have Steve Young, but it's still pretty good. Niners, 12 in a row, 10-2 against the spread in those 12 games. But, yeah, Jalen Hurts, home field advantage. Philly, first NFC championship since hosting their first NFC championship since 2017. But the thing that kind of kills it for me is, I'm going to take the dog here. I'm going to take the points. I'm going to say 23-21, but it's a great spot to take San Fran in the teaser. And if I was to play any of these games this weekend right now, I'm looking to tease San Fran. And whoever that dog is that gets to 1.5 in the AFC. Because we talk about it. You bet numbers, not teams. Some people don't agree with that, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, if I see any dog in the AFC get to 1.5 points, I'm going to tease them with San Francisco. And that'll be my square teaser, ice cold square demand of the week right there. I think this will be a close game in Philly. And if I had to take anybody, I am gambling that this line will get to 3 and I can get some buyback on the Niners at 3.
What's the over-under on this game?
46.5.
So I do believe that it's going to be a heavy run game for both, which usually kind of drains the clock. So I'd be inclined to lean under in this one.
I would lean under as well, yes.
Yeah, I feel that way too. I really do. I think it's going to be a running game, although I would take A.J. Brown and the over in his receiving yards because he got dumped along a little bit last week. I think he only had like 2 catches or 20-some yards or something. So, yeah, A.J. Brown might get a little love to make up for last week.
Playing a little prop culture myself, I would go under Jalen Hurts' 250.5 passing yards. That would be my little
I would think
prop
so.
Culture.
Yeah, sure.
250.5 is the I see a lot of high 240s, but I do see a 250.5 here. I would go under the anything in the high 240s. Jalen Hurts' passing yards here. Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to have a big 300-yard passing day against this Niners defense. I can promise you that.
Mm-mm.
All right, I guess we're going to the next game then. Your Cincinnati Bengals. Now, 1-point favorites. The juice consensus of all the top books out in the desert, -107, and this is still dropping as we speak. So this thing will get to pick before you know it, I'm here to tell you. Total 47. Mahomes looks like he's starting. Dead Air Dennis Dillon, do the Bengals make it to their second straight Super Bowl?
They do. And I feel pretty confident about it. I don't believe all the hype on Patrick Mahomes. I don't believe that he is 100% healthy. I don't think he needs to be 100% healthy. But that's his right leg. He's throwing off that leg. And it's also going to slow him down running the ball. So that takes away a big dimension of their game. I'm not super impressed with their run game. I realize the quality of player that Travis Kelce is. That guy's virtually unstoppable, but the Bengals can do it. I mean, if any team can, Cincinnati can do it. Their secondary has been so good this year. And flying under the radar, as they did last year, this time of year, it concerns me that they're a favorite right now. I do hope that they end up being the underdog in this
game. I think they will. I really do.
I do, too. It's not going to surprise me at all if they're a 1-2-point dog by the time kickoff happens. I just don't, there are still concerns, obviously, about the O-line. What they did last week against Buffalo was incredible. Kansas City, that's a step up. You got Chris Jones. You've got the rookie Karloftis over there, and those guys can get some pressure on Burrow. Burrow went down in the game against Buffalo, and that concerns me a little bit too because he was clearly in some discomfort but seemed to knock it off and be fine immediately afterwards. I just don't see Cincinnati losing. They just seem like a team of destiny, and I know I could very well eat my words in that because I think this game could go either way. And honestly, at the end of the day, I think it comes down to the coaches. Which one schemes up the better offense, the better defense, and what happens at halftime? Bengals.
You talk about the coaches. That's the one cog in this wheel where you're kind of like, whew, that is probably a major mismatch. Although Zach Taylor has been coaching his butt off.
Lou Anarumo.
Yeah.
There's a lot of deception in that defense.
Yeah, it's I would take Burrow over Mahomes mostly because you don't know what's going on with the injury. You feel like Kansas City is missing the guy that went to Miami, Tyreek Hill. They're not as explosive and they're in tighter games. Well, you look at kind of Cincinnati's MO, they've been in so many tight games this season. They're not scared. They're not swayed. They're not intimidated. And I do think Cincinnati is the one team in this entire league that's not intimidated by Kansas City. It's almost amazing. Mm-hmm. But Burrow is about as cool as it gets. Early on, I thought, you know what? Cincinnati's beat this Kansas City Chiefs team three different times in a row. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. And then Mahomes gets hurt. You don't know what that looks like. So I've kind of gone back and forth. I'm going to go with my heart on this one. Like Dennis, I think it's a special year for the Bengals, and I'm going to take Cincinnati. But I'm going to take the over in this game.
Yeah, one of these games is definitely going over.
Yeah, I like the other game under.
So
I like the other game under much more than this one. This is a coin flip. I'm going to say KC 24-23. But I do like the fact
that... God, I hate you so much. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Everybody says, the Bengals have beaten them 3 years in a row. And they have. And this game last year, Kansas City was a 7-point favorite in this game. So has Kansas City declined and the Bengals improved that much?
Yes.
You talk about the coaches. Before Joe Burrow started starting games, Zach Taylor was on the hot seat.
Yeah, he was, 1-14?
He was not exactly... People were not singing the praises of Zach Taylor.
I think it was 1-14-1 in his rookie season. But that's the whole reason that they got Burrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But nothing he did before Joe Burrow got here made me think, wow, this is going to be a coach of the future for the Bengals. So he had just been under the coattails of Sean McVay. That's basically why the only reason that he got hired in the first place from the Bengals. The Chiefs have led all three of those games. The Chiefs led by 18, 14, and 7 points in those games. And they never trailed entering the fourth quarter against the Bengals. So the Bengals always came from behind in the fourth quarter and or overtime to win those games. KC right now is the home dog of a point, which I don't think Dennis agrees. I don't think that they're going to remain the underdog. I still think they have the value here. If you ask me who's going to win the game, I think Kansas City wins the game. And that's all I've got to say about that. If you get one of these sides on 1.5 to 2.5, put them in your teaser with the Niners, and that would be your teaser of the week, your dead money, dead air, dead money teaser on my side anyway. Teaser
I'll
six.
Speak for my own dead air, dead money teaser.
I'm just trying to ride the coattails of you guys.
Keep talking, I'm going to punch you in the mouth.
Well, there's no need for such hatred, vitriol. Over there. Vitriol. It's kind of an anger.
I like that word.
Infantile vitriol. Mm. Yes. Thank you. So Kansas City for me, but if anybody reaches 1.5, tease them with the Niners. That would be my best play of the weekend.
Sure. Agree.
So you guys are in with the Bengals. You guys are in with the Eagles. Is that what I'm hearing here?
You know, I'm 50-50 on that one. I really am. I really think that game could really spin on its axis quick.
If I told you Patrick Mahomes in the Bengals game, 274.5 passing yards, could I get some unders on that? But he has to start the game now. That's part of the prop culture, you know, that he has to start and he has to play. 274.5. Could I get some unders on that? Because I would definitely go under there.
You know, he threw for under 200 yards last weekend because he didn't play a quarter,
right,
too.
Yes.
You got to take that into accountability. But, yeah, it's the first time he's done that since, like, week two of his rookie season or something ridiculous.
If I say the total for Joe Burrow is 276.5.
Wow. Are they really that close?
Yes.
That's great.
Wow.
So if I say both of these guys in the 270s in terms of passing yards, anybody want to come with me on the unders? Because I would go under
on both
of them.
Yeah, I'd go under on both of them. I would. This is going to be one of those hard-fought, tight games. If you're thinking about playing the over in these games, you might want to think about taking one of them over. I'm not betting against Joe Burrow.
You know, the weird part is you kind of look going into the Super Bowl, and I did kind of think about this. Would a Kansas City-Philadelphia matchup for Andy Reid be an incredible story for the next 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, though?
Nope.
No, I mean, I understand you're a Cincinnati fan, but it's one of those things where, you know, these hoax people that want to say, hey, the NFL is scripted, that does kind of lend an incredible storyline going into the Super Bowl.
What about San Francisco and Cincinnati?
Well, yeah, if you go back to the early 90s, there's a little bit of that, but that's
a little bit?
That's 30 years ago. People aren't going to remember those matchups. We will because of our age.
We're the only ones that matter.
Well, okay.
Who are you speaking about?
I remember watching Niners Bengals at the goal line stand when Charles Alexander would not run that pass route in the end zone. He stopped at the 1 yard line. What a terrible move. And why did they run Pete Johnson right up the middle 3 straight times? Stupid Forrest Gregg. What was he thinking?
Anyway. Whose voice was that?
John Facenda, the voice of NFL films.
Is that who it was?
That's who I'm trying to be. Yes.
That's not good.
No, that's not good.
Well, you know what? You're not good. How's that? Your butt's not good. And you know what? You're not allowed in any more Reds Caravan pictures.
No.
Oh, you've been blacklisted.
Join the crowd, beer man. Come on over. Step on in. The water's fine.
I will cry in my first place radio personality of the year.
Yeah, Beer Man and I are going up against each other. Brad, you'll like this story. Both Beer Man and I were two of the three nominees for the best DJ in the
year. You keep saying nominees. There were like 12 nominees. We're two of the three finalists.
Oh, we're the finalists.
Who is the other person / winner that's in this?
It is a girl.
My money's on whoever that person is.
Well, it's true. I mean, he and I will probably cancel out each other's votes.
No, at this stage,
thanks, Kevin.
At this stage, it's not votes.
Huh?
At this stage, it's not votes.
What is it based on?
So it's vote. It was votes to get us down to the final three.
Yeah.
And then it's their decision.
Oh.
After that.
How many hours a night did you two sit there and click vote for me? Vote for me. Vote for me.
None.
Vote for
me. Zero.
You can only have one. The other girl is Brittany Rowe from Mountaintop Media.
Mountaintop
Media. Love me some Brittany. Love me some Brittany Rowe.
Former cheerleader at UPike.
Seriously?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey.
UPike, baby.
Well, we're going to buy our tickets. Hey, we need to get a ticket for Mrs. Dead Air. She wants to go too.
I need a date.
I'm not available.
March 18th, Prestonsburg.
That's in the middle of the NCAA tournament. No way I'm going. You're crazy.
Well, you're not nominated, or you're not a finalist, or you never will be nominated, something like that.
Let me ask you this. How did you guys get nominated?
I mean, I have no idea.
People just do it for you.
Do they have a sports?
Because they misspelled my name, and they put the wrong station on my and so when they called out the finalist names, they accredited me to another radio station. I wasn't really happy about that.
This thing is rigged. Is there a sports division of this thing?
No.
Why would we care about sports?
Because that's all I know.
It was best radio personality.
Well, does that include sports?
This girl works in sports.
She works in sports?
Yeah.
You're a pipe girl?
Yeah.
She's a cheerleader.
Oh.
Mountaintop Media.
She's spinning hee-haw records or something.
Oh, settle down over there, Beavis.
How dare you? I was more of a fan of, what was his name, Stewart with the winger shirt?
Yeah,
that was my guy. I got to get that winger t-shirt. I've been looking for that. Okay, enough foolishness.
Yeah.
Although, once again, I've been slided out of yet another recognition of my talents here at ESPN Radio in Lexington. It's bad enough they don't put me in any of the pictures or any of the, you know, look around here. Poor beard.
No, we hung a picture of you up.
Yeah, you did.
We hung a picture of you up.
Uh-huh, and they obviously didn't want it here.
I disagree. It makes no sense.
They kept asking me who did it. At the time, I didn't know who did it. I said, I don't know who did it.
I'm going to start putting a headshot in here every day.
Why are we still talking about this? I'm so beleaguered right now.
I do want to apologize to you publicly, because all I do is, as I saw Dennis today, he goes, all right, Brad, what tale of woe do you have for me today?
I love
Debbie,
you. I love you, man.
Debbie Downer.
I love you, man. I just hate seeing you, you know, take all this stuff to heart. It's not worth it.
Debbie Downer walking in again.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a headshot of Alan Cutler. I'm going to get a headshot of Brad Taylor. We're going to put them both up in here. There's no way they could be like, why is that one up? This one's fine.
They didn't say take it down. They just kept asking me why it was there and who put it up. I don't know who did.
Thanks for prolonging the conversation, Beer Man. You know what we should do? We'll
Debbie
do.
Debbie Downer's we'll, back again.
We'll do what they did when we were in high school. We'll let you run for president for the LM Communications building, okay? And we'll all wear T-shirts that says "Vote for Pedro."
There you go.
Final thoughts on NFL football games.
Can we hang the Brian Tyler poster up in the Classic Rock Studios?
Yeah. For the Beer Man and Dead Air, Dennis Dillon.
This has been the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast.
So let's bottom line it, guys. Winners this weekend. Bottom line, who wins these games? One sentence, no more.
Whew.
There's the sentence.
Philadelphia, Cincinnati.
Philly and Cincinnati.
Philly for sure.
What?
I'm taking Cincinnati, but Philly for sure. I think the AFC wins the Super Bowl.
San Fran and Kansas City. Not that I'm trying to be different from you
no,
guys.
No, you're too. That's why your posters keep getting ripped down.
Why? Because I speak the truth? Or there's just a lot of hate in the world. Anyway, sign us off, Dillon.
For the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast Conference Championship Weekend. That's Beer Man and Brad Taylor, prime time. And my name is Dead Air Dennis from Classic Rock 92.1. We got the game, Bengals, Sunday. 5 o'clock for the pregame, 6:30 for kickoff.
That's right. You can hear the AFC or the NFC Championship here on ESPN Radio. At 3 o'clock kickoff, and then you can hear, flip on over to Classic Rock 92.1 for the 6:30 kickoff, 5 o'clock pregame for your Bengals and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-mm-mm.
Loser leaves town, winner goes to the Super Bowl, and now it's legislation. It's taking place up in Frankfurt with our good friend, Mr. Stivers, in control.
Senator Stivers.
Oh, Mr. Stivers.
Oh, how we hail you, you mighty chief.
If you could just see it in your wonderful soul. To grant upon us sports gambling for the state of
the same luxuries that 47 other states have.
And here, you know, too many people would be tempted by the fruit of another by going and fixing and rigging these college basketball games. Until the next time, as always,
suck it, Stivers.
Suck on the Stivers. If you really want to give us sports gambling, I'll never say your name on the air again. Until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.
Ay, 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 ay.